Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you all so much for joining me for today's podcast episode. Today, we're going to be discussing self-conscious versus self-aware. So I imagine we've all had the experience of struggling to feel comfortable in our own skin, feeling uncomfortable in our own bodies. Very often we'll feel nervous and anxious. Perhaps we'll feel judged, like everyone's watching us. Every move we make will be scrutinized. So this experience is known as being self-conscious. Self-conscious is defined as feeling undue awareness of oneself, one's appearance, one's actions. Now, while self-consciousness can be crippling and really hold us back from being and expressing our authenticity, expressing ourselves, there is a slight overlap with self-awareness, which is the healthy side of self-consciousness. They do overlap in some way. Self-awareness is defined as the conscious knowledge of one's own character, feelings, motives, and desires, which is very similar. And like I mentioned, in many ways overlaps being self-conscious, but generally self-awareness is regarded as a virtue and something we want to strive towards. So in today's podcast episode, I want to discuss the differences, the nuances between self-conscious and self-aware, and how, if we are feeling self-conscious, we can shift into self-awareness and ultimately feel more at peace in our bodies. So let's begin with understanding the root of self-consciousness. So as we begin life as an infant, as a toddler, as a child, we are going to see ourselves completely as one with our parents. We are in essence an extension of them. So as we grow older, we are going to start to separate ourselves, we're going to start to individuate, and we are going to learn about who we are as a separate being. This is a natural and necessary, healthy part of development. So this process, this individuation process, gets hugely interrupted when those who are responsible for assisting us in that individuation process, most usually our primary caregivers, are not assisting us and helping us, giving us the nutrients we need, the confidence we need to transition out of this fusion with the parent or with the primary caregiver into healthy independence. An example of this would be if we were, let's say, mocked or shamed for our differences. Let's say we were judged or humiliated or disrespected for not being what our primary caregivers expected of us and wanted us to become. And this is regardless of if this is who we are or what was best for us. And this is going to cause us to feel incredible shame and guilt about being separate from our parents, being independent, being our own being. In many ways, this interrupts and stunts the natural ability and healthy need to individuate and grow up to become our own independent person. So a child who feels threatened by their independence will forego their independence, sacrifice that in order to protect the relationship with their parent, which in many ways to the child feels like a desperate need for survival. In many ways it is. If we are going to survive childhood, we have to make sure we are accepted by our family of origin, by our primary caregivers. Now, in an ideal world, this is going to take an attunement, a healthy mirroring by the primary caregiver, and ultimately the child can balance their need for independence and their need for dependence on the primary caregiver. It requires a certain maturity on the part of the parent, realizing that the child is a separate being and eventually will become their own independent being, and it's the primary caregiver's, the parent's responsibility to know this and be mature and not try to cripple that attempt for individuation or see it as a threat, but rather see it as a healthy maturation process. Now, if the parent, primary caregiver, is not available or not mature or not emotionally present to assist the child in this process, the child, like I mentioned, is going to feel great shame for wanting something that is outside of the primary caregiver's expectations or what they see necessary for having needs that are outside of what are deemed appropriate by the primary caregiver. So independence and developing a separate identity and having needs to become an independent person are going to become associated and experienced as something shameful and ultimately something to be avoided. So as a result of not getting healthy attunement, as well as the spiritual and emotional nutrients to individuate, a child will either shame themselves for their differences, for wanting needs, and for their natural desire for independence. They will essentially become fused with the parent and have a very difficult time seeing themselves as anything but what the parent wants them to become. You can say that they've become enmeshed, or the opposite extreme. Oftentimes the child will, an eventual adult, will become completely cut off from the parent and try to create this independence. And ultimately what ends up happening is that they have a very difficult time with relationships, because instead of the proper independence, the maturation process, which takes stages, it takes a process of going through that individuation process to cut off, doesn't necessarily create that independence, that ultimately creates massive disconnects from people around them, which ultimately affects our ability to have relationships and create healthy intimacy. So part of this neglect and this abandonment of sorts causes the child and later adult to develop a very keen sense of awareness of those around them, because ultimately their survival depends on being able to get other people to meet their emotional needs. Because their primary caregivers are not meeting their needs, they essentially are going to try to make other people into their parents, in a sense, to get those needs met. And what happens is they become very hypersensitive to the people around them and what they want from them, who they could become, very hypersensitive to rejection and abandonment, especially, and become exceptionally needy in order to meet these needs. Now, in addition, they are going to become very aware of themselves, because they're always watching themselves, in a sense, because of their abandonment. They're going to have to, in essence, watch themselves to make sure that they are falling in line with, let's say, the role or whatever they need to become to be accepted by peers, by those around them. And this becomes a survival mechanism. This becomes a habit of being very sensitive, very very observant, very just aware of everything around them. And oftentimes, this is going to lead to a self-obsession or self-criticism, extreme observance of oneself to a fault. In a sense, the individual struggling in this way is going to get stuck inside themselves and is constantly living in this fear of being rejected, being judged, and ultimately not accepted, which in the primitive mind of this individual is essentially death. Now, while it is important to self-reflect, self-reflection is extremely important if we are going to be responsible, take responsibility for our shortcomings, and grow as people and become truly who we are meant to be, too much of this becomes a problem. When we are self-observing constantly, watching our every move and being keenly aware of people around us to a point where we can't really just relax, we end up truly not being ourselves. We end up hiding a lot of ourselves just to fit in. We end up being extremely critical and judgmental of ourselves, because we want to make sure that we are accepted by others. We want to make sure that none of our insecurities, our wounds, our vulnerabilities get in the way of our ability to be accepted, and therefore we want to make sure our survival. So when we are this aware of ourselves, what ends up happening is we become extremely self-rejecting, because we're constantly on the lookout for our own potential vulnerabilities and things that can get in the way of other people accepting us, liking us, loving us, right? And this is as opposed to self-acceptance. Self-acceptance is the ability to be aware of who you are and accept all of who you are, and not rejecting any element of self, with unconditional acceptance, compassion, love, and with the absence of any judgment. So being self-aware is extremely important for all facets of life, most specifically our intimate relationships. So if we do not know who we are, then we're not gonna know what we want, and it makes it very difficult to communicate our needs, assert ourselves, and oftentimes we don't show up whole and authentic in our relationships. This becomes a massive barrier to intimacy. So being self-aware is a vital life skill in order to thrive in general. That being said, if we are too self-focused to the point where our awareness becomes the only thing that we know, we essentially get stuck in ourselves, like I said, and we don't have the ability to truly extend ourselves, to rise above the self, to live for something greater. You can see we become very egocentric. So from this perspective, we can see that there is a healthy balance between self-aware, having a sense of self, knowing who you are, and ultimately being able to transcend that self, self-transcendence, which essentially allows us to thrive as people. So this balance can become imbalanced when we lean toward too much self-focus, right? We become very self-conscious, almost too self-aware, which ultimately makes our existence very uncomfortable, where we feel disconnected and isolated. Now, furthermore, when we are heavily attached to a very specific identity, a very specific role, let's say our career, our job, our social role, our family role, maybe our appearance, our bodies, the idea, the perspective of who we are, in essence, we are so much more than these limited identities. Now, who we are, in essence, is a spirit, right? We are an eternal spirit living, having a short time experience in a physical body. So self-awareness is awareness of who we truly are. You can say that self-awareness is really spirit awareness or soul awareness. It's knowing who we truly are, our authentic self, which is a spirit. So part of the nature of this authenticity, of this spirit, is that it is unconditional love. Its nature is unconditional love. You can say that we are unconditional love. We are the energy of unconditional love. So in this space of who we truly are, there really is no room for judgment, for criticism, for rejection. We are one with everything. We are fully connected to all that exists, you can say. So self-consciousness comes from not realizing and accepting this very fundamental truth. And it's a misunderstanding, a misconception of who we truly are, believing that who we are is our limited identity. It's our self, the idea of who we are, which is oftentimes what we believe is our ego and or any of the above mentioned roles that we play. So the more we identify with something or an identity that is not who we truly are, then the more insecure we're going to feel, the more nervous and uncomfortable we are in our own bodies, and ultimately the less self-aware we are, the more self-conscious we become. And the reason for this is because this identity is not who we truly are, and we're very often, deep down, we know on some level that we know this is not who we truly are. So because we're so rigid in our, or I should say nervous about this identity, we're not necessarily secure in it, we're constantly fearful of some of other people, you know, sort of calling it out, identifying that it's not who we truly are, and we constantly feel on edge whether we're going to get rejected, judged, or found out for not being truly, you know, authentic, or in essence lying, right? In essence being deceptive. And we're constantly working to reinforce this identity because we fear that if we lose it, we'll be lost. And because it's not a secure identity, it's not an identity that is everlasting, so to speak, it is not a true identity. We always fear that we will lose it. And because we've identified with this identity, if we lose it, it would totally shatter us completely. So from this perspective, self-consciousness is in essence from truly not being aware of who we are and believing that who we are is some form of perfectionistic idea or some role we play in society or what every other person believes that we are. Now, in truth, we are always growing. A healthy person is someone who's always expanding our consciousness and forever growing to our full potential. And this is the nature of our authenticity. This is the nature of spirit, to constantly grow. So when we get too attached to a specific identity, it really inhibits our ability to grow, and it inhibits our ability to identify with who we truly are, spirit. And this attachment is essentially the nature of ego. So when we are to shift from ego identification to identifying with who we truly are, which is our authenticity, right? Like we mentioned, it's our eternal, unconditionally loved, and fully accepted spirit. There really is no place for judgment. And because we are so secure in this identity, it's not dependent on other people telling us who we are or whether other people accept it or not, because we are just simply aware of this, of the nature of this authenticity. We're not going to live in fear of not being accepted. We feel fully connected and therefore are not constantly on edge of what other people will think about us, what they'll judge, if they won't accept us, if they will. In essence, we are accepting who we are unconditionally. And once this happens, we also want to understand that because this self is constantly evolving, getting too attached to any specific identity along the way doesn't allow us to expand. It really cripples our ability to continue to expand. So what is so vital to be able to accept, it's so vital to be able to accept who we are, but also accept that we're not going to stay this way forever. And while we want to know this identity, understand this is who we are, this authentic self, but we also want to let go of any attachment to an identity and realizing that we may not be the same exact person tomorrow as we continue to expand. So from this perspective, self-consciousness comes from the rigid attachment to something that we are not, and constantly fearing that this identity will not be accepted by others and needing other people to reinforce it, because deep down we realize that it's not necessarily who we are. So self-acceptance, which leads to self-awareness, is realizing that who we are does not need other people's acceptance to be loved, to be who we are. It is eternally acceptable and loved, and other people's involvement in our life is not to gain acceptance, but rather it's a different intention. It's to share this sense of self and to connect with others and rise above our limited independent ego identity to be able to transcend the self to create the fulfilling intimacy and connection that we are looking for. So the journey to self-awareness is something that can very easily get interrupted and corrupted in childhood, specifically during adolescence. Right? Adolescence, during this very specific time, I mean, throughout childhood, it can get interrupted, but during our adolescence, specifically a teenager, right, is desperately trying to figure out who they are. Most generally speaking, a teenager is going to be self-conscious, and the reason this is the case is because they have not fully embraced and embodied their true existence. They're struggling to find out who they are, to find an identity that they really feel at peace with. And this extreme anguish, because during this sensitive time, there's usually a lot of judgment from peers, from society, family, a lot of pressure, a lot of big emotions coming up, a lot of transformation experience being experienced. Very often, these teenage years, adolescent, become very corrupted, and especially if we are made to feel unsafe or we're judged or criticized during this very sensitive and important pivotal growth period, transformative period. And it's truly the harder it is to surrender our true identity, then what happens is the harder we attach and identify with an identity that allows us to be accepted by peers and ultimately not criticized and judged. And this is where you see oftentimes people will begin this habit of developing a false self or identify strongly with an identity that gets them accepted and reject their authenticity, which ultimately wreaks havoc later on down the line, because we start to reinforce this identity, believe it is who we truly are, and in many ways we are resisting our true identity, which creates a ton of suffering. So it's important to understand a very fundamental truth. If we truly knew who we were, if we were truly to embrace and surrender to our authenticity, it would be very difficult and to become or to feel self-conscious, because we would realize that who we are is pure unconditional love. And in this space, the judgments melt away, and because we are fully embracing who we are, we accept ourselves, then other people are going to most usually accept us as well, because acceptance from others truly begins with our ability to accept ourselves for who we are. So once we reach a place of acceptance of who we truly are, we surrender to this identity, we're going to experience a peace, we're going to experience compassion, and ultimately there's going to be a true awareness of who we are. And as a result of that, because we know who we are, we're confident, we're secure in who we are, and life becomes a lot more in flow, and our relationships start to enhance themselves, because we do not need other people to reinforce a false identity, but rather we can simply feel secure and at peace in our authenticity and share that self with others simply for the purpose of fulfilling relationships, as opposed to trying to get or manipulate someone to give us something that they cannot give us. So when we identify, right, the more we identify with who we are not, the more we are going to struggle to accept the version of ourselves that we are. The more we look for others to accept this version of ourselves, the more we cling to it in fear, the more we resist who we truly are. And this, again, this creates an intense amount of pain and suffering. So much healing is going to happen as we let go of who we are not, right? Any ego identities, any roles we play. I mean, by all means, these are roles that we might need to play to survive, but this is not who we truly are. And we let go of this idea that this is our true existence, realizing that the only way to shift into authenticity, to self-awareness, spirit awareness, is by becoming self-accepting, by showing oneself extreme, unconditional love, compassion, and continuing the growth process as we evolve towards our full potential. So the more we do this, and the more we show ourselves this self-acceptance, the less worried we are about people accepting us. And the more rigid we are, the less we define ourselves by the rigid ego identities, and ultimately, as a result of that, we are fully whole and at peace with who we are. So to conclude, being aware of yourself is really a fundamental part of living a happy and healthy and fulfilling life, specifically intimate lives, relationship lives. When we lack self-awareness, we really cannot show up authentically, and we're going to struggle. We struggle to communicate our needs, and as a result of that, rarely do our needs get met. So in order to gain self-awareness, there must be an element of self-reflection. Right? We have to be able to look ourselves in the mirror and say, who am I and who am I not? And self-reflection is very much the opposite of self-criticism, self-judgment, and self-shaming. Self-reflection is not judging yourself or looking at yourself and wanting to be a different person or judging every difference. Self-reflection is being able to observe yourself through the lens of compassion, through the heart, and realizing that who you are is infinite love. And that infinite energy, that unconditional love, is worthy of getting your needs met. And it is up to us to make the choice to identify with who we truly are and make sure that we are fully aligned with this authenticity. And whenever we are self-reflecting, it's a huge sign that we are not seeing ourselves accurately, truthfully, when we are judging and criticizing ourselves. Because if we were to truly see ourselves as we are, an accurate reflection of who we are, if we were to know who we are, then we would realize that we are infinitely, infinitely loved, and there really is no place for rejection, for judgment, and for shaming. And true self-reflection, which leads to self-awareness, demands compassion. And it's very often that we struggle to show ourselves compassion because we are so used to trying to fit in and judging every part of ourselves that won't allow us to fit in. But this is why we suffer, because we are resisting our authenticity, and resistance to the truth, resistance to present moment, resistance to love creates a lot of pain. So true self-awareness can only occur when we are seeing ourselves truthfully, and which includes, like I said, seeing ourselves through the lens of compassion and through the heart. So I want to thank you all for joining me for today's podcast episode. It is so common for trauma and abuse victims to be self-conscious. We usually, and this most specifically manifests itself as judging our physical flaws, our body flaws, but also our character flaws. And this becomes very difficult to heal, because what we're doing is we're really not accepting who we are. And a lot of healing happens as a consequence, as a byproduct of accepting who we are with compassion. So while it's counterintuitive, and while it might be difficult and uncomfortable at first, as we get into the habit of showing ourselves compassion and accepting ourselves for who we are, we start to transform. And as a result of that transformation, we start to truly embody our authenticity. And as a result of that, so much of our life begins to heal, because we have began to heal inwardly. If you are interested in working with me directly, one-on-one, to work through any self-conscious experiences that you're having, any traumas that have led you to feel self-conscious, so we can shift into self-awareness and self-love, please feel free to reach out to me directly. My email is yitz, Y-I-T-Z, at magnoliahealingcenter.com. My phone, 818-210-6049. Thank you all so very much for joining me for today's episode. Until next time, all the best.